We're going to continue in the series today on one another, on sharing our life in the body of Christ. And it's been a really exciting series and a helpful series for me individually. And I hope it's been that way for you too. And I've said it many times, but I always believe that first, the Word of God is to me. I'm not above it, I'm below it. And I need the Word of God, and I need truth just as much as you do. And before it can be God's Word through me, it has to be God's Word to me. And this has been a great series in helping me and in my life. And so in the series on sharing life in the body of Christ that we've called One Another, we've traced a number of themes: forgive one another, love one another, pray for one another, submit to one another, encourage one another. And this week we're in this topic of caring for one another. And then next week we wrap up this series with serve one another. So that's kind of where we've been. And where we'll be going after that will be a series on parenting that's practical and really not just for parents, but for everyone. And so we're looking forward to that. But this topic today we're going to look at is called care for one another. And sometimes it's really, it's better to demonstrate what something is by showing what it's not. So I thought I'd do that this morning. And, you know, coming into church on Sundays are a busy morning for pastors, and walking into the church and coming into my office, I thought, first of all, wow, somebody is really caring for me. So I found this picture right here. I walked in. That's my office door. And if you can't tell, that's the most amazing color combination I think I've ever seen. It's green and it's gold, the Green Bay Packers. And so I'm a big Green Bay Packers fan. I've been my whole life. So I was like, wow, this is really neat. Somebody wanted to show me as a pastor, as a friend, that they care for me. Well, then I opened my door, and this is what I found. So, yeah, don't even clap. It's a shameful thing. So if you can't tell, there's a tablecloth. There's these little fluffy things hanging between the lights. There's a Brian Urlacher poster. And you can see on the back side of the door is another poster. And if you think it stops there, I've got another picture. So here's the other side, bookshelves. There's I can't even read it from here, a Bears sign, Bears Way or whatever. And so somebody thought they'd be really funny, and you know who you are, Josh Strickler. And Scripture says that the sins of the father are passed down. Apparently, Mackenzie and Haley were involved in this. These are two of the sweetest girls I know, and here they were in the office. So this would be enough, but this is worthy of pointing out. This takes it to a whole other level. Look at this next picture. Okay, they even wrapped the NIV application commentary on Isaiah. They wrapped in that cover right there, Chicago Bears. So I just wanted to show you the depth to which this went. So good job. Well done, Josh Strickler. I know where you live. I know where you live. So if you're not paying attention, tonight is the Bears and Packers. So it should be a good night, and I probably won't need any payback. I'll just send you a text and offer pastoral care and support at that time. But anyways, just a funny way there to talk about what not caring for one another is. But we're going to talk about this team. We'll put all that aside, and we're going to talk about this message on what it means to care for one another. And I want to invite you, you can follow along on the screen, or you can open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, and we're going to go through into chapter 6, verse 5. And this is one of those passages that I think has a lot to say what it means to care for one another. Another passage is 1 Corinthians 12. Talks about us being members in the body of Christ. And because we belong together in a family, we are called to help each other, to care for one another. But I want to focus in on this passage today, Galatians chapter 5 through chapter 6 here, the beginning part of it, and see what God might have to say to us through this. So you can follow along as I read. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Then in verse 1 of chapter 6, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we're part of a family here today, and thank you for the laughter. Thank you for the friendship, the fellowship. Thank you for the words spoken this morning. Perhaps over coffee and donuts in the fellowship hall or in the hallway or here. Thank you for the authentic faith that is present here today. As we pause here today, our desire is for you to speak to us, and we remember that your words are truth. And so even as we've received the scripture reading, it reminds us that everything you say is true and trustworthy. And our prayer today is that everything I would say would honor you. But my words are not inspired. Your words are. So we humbly ask that as each one of us would consider what is said in this passage, that you would open our eyes, that you would open our hearts to respond in faith to you. Show us what it is that you have already spoken through this passage and what it is that you want to speak through your Holy Spirit to us through this. So again, we thank you, and we are excited to hear what you have to say to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think it goes without saying that we live in a culture that is very, very individualistic. And in fact, in our culture, oftentimes we evaluate spirituality or piety based upon private disciplines. So for example, a person who is considered of faith and spiritual is a person who reads their Bible by themselves, who prays, who goes to church. We tend to think of spirituality and faith primarily in those terms. And now, without a doubt, there's truth in that we need to read scripture to know who God is. We need to pray, just like any relationship requires communication. Prayer is how God communicates to us, and we communicate to him. But we also have to hear what God wants to say through this passage. And if I could sum it up in a nutshell, here's what I believe, what God would want to say to us through this passage is this. Followers of Jesus are called to humbly care for one another. It's a call that we have. And our faith is not just to be seen in private disciplines. Our faith really needs to be seen, and where it really shows up is in our relationships. And it's so important that we grasp this and that we understand that all of us who would claim the name of Jesus, who are his followers, we are called to care for one another in the body of Christ. So I want to focus in on what this looks like, what it means. And specifically, I want to look at three ways that I believe in this passage God calls the church. And so again, if you're new today and you're not a follower of Jesus, our desire is that even as you would hear this, that you would potentially consider placing your faith and trust in Jesus. But a lot of what I have to say here, I think has to do with what the church should be. And if we're honest, and if you're somebody who's open to the faith, but you're not a follower of Jesus, maybe sometimes you've rejected the faith because we haven't done a good job of this. Maybe we've been quicker to post about our faith or to, you know, speak about our piety, but we haven't shown care. And so I just in that my hope and prayer is if you're not a follower of Jesus, hearing this would open your eyes to see what being a follower of Jesus really is about. And at our best as Jesus followers, we are a caring and a loving community. You know, I could go back, and all of us could, and you could name hypocrites. We could all search back through our life story, but for every hypocrite, I could name multiple people who many are in heaven now, were Sunday school teachers when I was a kid, who were authentic, loving, caring followers of Jesus Christ. The kind of follower that I want to be, and I pray that God would help me to be. So it's important that we care for each other. Paul thinks this is really, really important. In fact, he links caring for one another with keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. Verse 25 says, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's not become conceited, provoking or envying one another, but instead, let's carry each other's burdens. Let's care for one another." Caring for one another is following Jesus. It fulfills the law of Christ. It's what we are called to do. Being conceited, proud, envy, can cause us to look down on other people who have burdens. Other people who may be caught in sin, we can look down on them. We can view them as somehow, you know, there's somebody that we don't want anything to do with. And we can look down into almost in a disparaging way. But love that God desires for us calls us to care for one another in the body of Christ. So I want to share with you three ways that we are to care for one another. The first is this: gently restore a fellow believer who is caught in sin. Gently restore a fellow believer who is caught in sin. This word that we find for gently restore is a word that is used in Greek to describe the putting a bone that is out of joint back into place, a dislocated bone or joint, to put it back in place. That's the same word. So I've never had that happen to me. I've never dislocated a joint, but I've known people who have. And that process of putting it back in does not feel good. It's not easy. But the end result is the pain goes away usually when it gets back into joint. So the same word is used here to gently restore. It's the same kind of word and same kind of meaning here. I want to invite you to look at verse 1. It says, "Brothers and sisters," again, this is all of us. All of us in the family of God, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit. I'm going to pause there because some translations say you who are spiritual. So oftentimes we go, well, I don't really feel spiritual. That's for like this super elite group of Christians. That's for the Sunday school teachers. That's for the board members. That's for the people on the platform. I'm not one of these spiritual elite, but all that word means is you who are walking in the Spirit. And if you're a follower of Jesus, God's Spirit lives in you. So all of us who have placed our faith in Jesus, we are called to do this. We are called to gently restore those who are caught in a sin. But we're to do so with a particular attitude. Not with pride, not with conceit, not with comparison, but gently and humbly. Because we're aware that we too can fall into temptation. We too can sin as well. So God calls all of us to care for each other. And we need to remember here, this sin that God is talking about, sin isn't bad because it's on God's list of do's and don'ts that makes it bad. Sin is bad because all sin is against God. It is against how we were made, against nature. It is against others. Sin is against ourselves. And it's important that when we view sin that way, we realize that what makes sin bad is ultimately it creates a separation between God and me, but it also creates a separation and creates problems in my relationships. So when I do sin, when I go against God's law, not just in his law that's revealed in Scripture, which it fully and finally is, but God's laws that are everywhere in creation, that we see when we go against our Creator, things get really bad. Sin hurts, and you don't need me to tell you this, because if you're like me, I have scars, I have wounds for sins that I've committed, for times in my life where I rejected God, and those wounds of sin, the hurt that it caused me, the hurt it caused others, we're aware of that. And so what God desires for us to do here is to be a church, to be a kind of people that lovingly wants to help other people. That lovingly, when somebody, a believer, is caught in sin, our desire is to gently restore them. That's our desire. Now, how do we do that? That's a really difficult thing for us to talk about, but I think I can suggest some ways from Scripture. One would be this, is that we pray. We pray for that person. We pray for them. And I think what happens during prayer is often God reminds us, especially if you pray the Lord's Prayer, forgive me for my trespasses or sins as I forgive. God reminds me that he has shown mercy and grace to me. He reminds me that I need his forgiveness. He reminds me that I need him to lead me in ways that won't let me be led into temptation, that I need him to deliver me. He reminds me humbly of who I am. And I think that enables us to then genuinely pray for somebody. And lovingly, we don't want to see somebody experience the pain that comes from sin. So pray. Start there. Pray for somebody. And then secondly, I'd say, know who you're not. You are not the Holy Spirit. You are not God. You are not Jesus. I am not God. I am not Jesus. Only God knows everything that's going on inside of somebody. Only God can ultimately meet the need of a human heart. So recognize who you are not. Pray. And then be gracious. Be gracious. When appropriate, speak the truth in love. That's Ephesians talks about that. That is not easy to do. Be gracious. Speak the truth in love. Be present. Demonstrate the love, the mercy, and the grace of Jesus to others. But speaking truth in love invites a desire to gently restore somebody back because you care for them. I think in times where this has gone wrong in churches, and maybe some of you are cringing even at this thought right now because it goes wrong where somebody has opinions and there's this subculture in the church of these are things we don't do, these are things we do, and then somebody views it's their job to go around and point out when everybody's not measuring up to that. And if you grew up around some legalism, maybe you experienced some of that, but that's not what this is talking about here. This is a gentle love, almost like a love we might experience in our family, of not wanting to see one of our own children be hurt, so we gently want to restore them. We gently speak the truth in love. We show them grace. We show them mercy. And we do for them what God has done for us. And that's key, that we know that we are sinners apart from God's grace. We know that we don't measure up. We know that without God, we are lost. But yet we have received this grace. So we, in turn, give that grace. So I think a good question would be this. Who are you caring for in this way? Who are you caring for spiritually? Who are you watching over? Who are you encouraging? Who is caring for you spiritually? When you stumble, when you fall, when you sin, is there anybody there to encourage you, not to condemn you? I think we're caught up sometimes in this, you hear people say, well, I'm not going to judge. The Bible says don't judge. It's not my place to judge. And sometimes while that's true, it is not our place to condemn somebody. God alone is judge. He is. But sometimes we use that as an excuse to not care for somebody spiritually. And we misinterpret Scripture when we are called in the body of Christ. We're not talking to go to somebody on the street who's not a follower of Jesus and set them straight. That's not the call here. The call is in the church family. When somebody stumbles, when they're caught, we are to go. Now, this is not pastor only. This is congregation. This is small group. This is when you know somebody is struggling, when they've fallen, when they've given in and they're discouraged and they're pulling back from God because they don't feel like God could forgive them for what they've done. The church is called to go, not to condemn, not to judge, but to gently restore. And as we do that, we experience that growth in the body of Christ. And give you an illustration of that. All I know to do is to speak from my own experience on this some, but I was a freshman in seminary and trying to take a ton of classes. I'd been married for just a few months, and I was on the north side of Chicago, 22 years old, starting my first year of my master's, and just overwhelmed and trying to acclimate to graduate-level studies. And I remember a student who was a couple years older than me. We had class together, and after class, he said, hey, we take this class together. How about we once a week have lunch? I just need somebody to encourage me in my faith, to ask me if I've been struggling with temptation. Have I been pure? You know, have I been honoring and loving my spouse the way I should be? you know, what have my thoughts been like? Have I committed any sin? I need somebody who would be that for me. And I would just wonder if you'd be willing to do that with me. And I never had anybody ask me that in my life, but I said, yeah, I'll do that. And what developed out of that was this friendship where I knew that I could sit down with this friend. He's a pastor in Wisconsin now of an evangelical free church, and sat down with him, and we were able just to talk and say, you know, I'm so busy at my prayer life. I'm not intentionally trying to rebel against God, but I'm so busy that I'm just tunnel vision with finals or whatever it is, and I just need you to pray for me. And there was that healthy balance of at times where he'd be like, okay, 2 weeks in a row, you said you haven't been spending much time in God's word other than to study, because that's all I did was study God's word in seminary, but you haven't been doing it just to be with Jesus. And it's been a couple weeks. Let me encourage you. You know, I'm going to ask you again next week. Just do something small. Go for a walk. And that helped me. It was grace and truth. Gently restore. Spiritually care. So the first way that we need to care for one another really is to spiritually care for one another. The second is this: carry each other's burdens. Now this word, you can look at the verse. It's verse 2. It says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. This word for burden is a word that means something very, very heavy that's difficult to bear alone. So here the passage, Paul is talking about a burden that can be crushing, that can be heavy. And in the body of Christ, what we are told to do here through Paul is that we are to be a church and a community of believers that when somebody is carrying a heavy burden, we don't sit back and say, well, somebody else will take care of that. We take initiative to come and to help carry, shoulder that burden. Now what is Paul talking about here? You know, the previous was somebody caught in sin. It was very narrow, specific. But what is he talking about here? And it's really general. And it's general because the word, this burden can mean about anything. Could be a financial difficulty. Could be something, a project that somebody just is carrying, and it's heavy, it's hard, remodeling a house. Could be a relational thing. Could be all sorts of things. It could be somebody who, you know, is looking for help. You know I've been blessed in my life and have a long way to go in it, but of people who are willing to help when it comes to areas like, hey, I want to go to the gym. I've been asking and saying I'll go to the gym every single day since I was 20, and like I've hardly ever gone. I've had a gym membership and not gone, and then I had somebody that you know, Jason Daly at the church, who told me, he said, hey, how about we go to the gym every morning? I'll call you. And that started helping me. He was shouldering that. He was helping me do something that I was unable to have the discipline to do on my own. I'm sure none of you are like that, since all of you just hop out of bed the first time the alarm goes off and you know, pump out 20 push-ups. You're just all that way, aren't you? No. But having that love and that grace and that accountability, I know many in Ruth Krager's First Place for Health. That's why they go to that. There's this shouldering of this difficulty that they want help with, and they find the encouragement and the strength. Carry each other's burdens. I think if we're to accept that, then we have to recognize that God is calling us to live an other-centered life. What I mean by that is not a life that's centered around me, my relationship with God, my job, my happiness, my hobbies, but God is calling his followers to live a life that is centered in others, that we live for his glory and we live to carry, to help shoulder each others' burdens. Paul says that when we carry each other's burdens, it fulfills the law of Christ. This means literally, and this is from Tim Keller in his commentary on Galatians, it means that when we shoulder each other's burdens, we are following in the very footsteps of Jesus. Because when we carry others' burdens, we are doing so out of the fact that Christ has already carried our burdens. He's the one who took our sin to the cross. He's the one who, fully God, the eternal Son of God, became fully man, suffered, was rejected, died on Calvary, was raised again, ultimately to bring us life, so that we could be born again, so that we could be made new. So when we carry somebody else's burden in the name of Jesus, We literally are walking in the very footsteps that when Jesus was on the earth, that he walked. And the world can see that Jesus is just as much alive today as he was 2,000 years ago. And that the church of Jesus Christ, his body, is alive on the earth. And there is hope, there is forgiveness, there is mercy. But when the church steps back and goes, well, I'm just kind of busy and we're all living our individualistic lives and we're just not my problem, I have enough things to deal with on my own, the world looks on and they go, how are you any different? Do I really want to follow Jesus like that? So we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to carry somebody else's burden? Are we willing, when we see somebody under a weight, to help, to reach out, to fulfill the law of Jesus Christ? We are called as a church, we are called to care for one another in the body of Christ. The third and the final way that we care for one another is this, and that is when we carry our own load. Each one of us have to carry our own load. And it's kind of interesting. I love how Paul, writing here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, would put this in here. Because I kind of want to end the sermon right here, you know. But then he has this next part, and you can follow along. Verse 3, if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. If we have pride and we think that we are something when we are not, remember John 15:5 says that Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. If we have pride and we think we're something when we're not, we will think ourselves too important or above helping others and even having a heart to see the needs that are around us. Before we can carry each other's burdens, we must have a right attitude. We must have a right perspective about ourselves that is based in our identity as followers of Jesus, where we are called to be like Jesus. We are not called to be like the world. We are called to, when the world is hating and when there's all this negativity, we are called to be something else. We're called to be love. We're called to be grace. We're called to be truth. We're called to care for one another. When we do those things, we have to carry our own load. God enables us to then in turn go and carry other people's burdens. What's interesting here is the word load is a different word than the word burden. The word load here in the original language is like a backpack. It's a word for a backpack. It's like putting a backpack on. This is your normal load, whereas what somebody else has is a massive burden. Imagine a huge boulder that's just weighing them down. We are responsible to carry our own load, to remember who we are as followers of Jesus, to have our identity rooted in him, and then we are responsible to help shoulder and to carry and to bear other people's burdens. I want to read you this. This is a couple paragraphs from Galatians for You from Tim Keller. Listen to this, and I think he says it well, and I'm just going to read it. It says, verse 5 means that God has given each of us a different set of difficulties and opportunities, a different set of weaknesses and gifts. These are our load, our responsibility before God. We are therefore not to compare ourselves with others. Instead, we must look at our particular test and duties and respond to them obediently. If we live life in this way, we will judge our life each day against who we have been and who we could have been. When we see progress, we take legitimate pride in it, whether or not we are better or worse than someone else. We will not compare ourselves with someone who has done less than us and feel conceited pride, or someone who has done more and feel conceited despair or envy. God has given them a different load to carry and to serve him with. Our task is to carry our individual load, not someone else's, in a way that pleases God. If we see life this way, we will be slow to judge others as well. we will be non-judgmental and generous. For example, if we see someone being irritable, we will think, I don't know what pressures that person is facing, nor what level of emotional self-control he began with. Maybe he is actually obeying God better than me today. That's a big point. We are humbly and gently to help others with their tasks and problems, with all of their burdens. But we are responsible to carry our load. So I believe today Jesus calls us to be a church that cares for one another. We gently restore those who may become caught up in sin. We carry each other's burdens, and then we carry the load that God has given us without comparing, and we live to care in the body of Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that we remember that we have, apart from you, a burden that there's no way that we could ever remove on our own. It's the burden of our own sin. It's the burden of being created in this world to know and to love you, but instead to have chosen our own way, to have chosen to live by our own laws rather than your laws. And as a result of that, we've experienced the death and the destruction that sin brings. But what joy we have today as we proclaim once again that even while we were dead in our sins, Christ died. And he died for the ungodly, not for those who are righteous, but for those who are not. So we give praise to you, remembering and celebrating the fact that you carried our burden, our sin, to Calvary. You took that freely upon yourself so that you could ultimately offer us a way to be brought back into a whole relationship with our Creator, and then to be brought back into right relationships in our families, our homes, our neighborhoods, to transform our very attitudes and our behavior, that instead of living in ways that's destructive, we could be changed, we could be new, and we could become like Jesus. That's something you've all done for us. You've done all of that for us in Jesus. And so this very moment today, we once again, I believe you invite us to place our faith in you and you alone, to find peace and rest in knowing that we can be forgiven this moment, to knowing that we can belong in your family. I pray today we would pray together that if there's anyone here who does not know that joy, that does not have that peace, that feels like their sins are far too great for you to love them, in this very moment, in a way that only you can do through your Holy Spirit, the very presence of Jesus, would you show them that you can forgive them? And that you love them, that they're not damaged goods, that you care for them, you gave your life for them, and if they'll place their trust in you and commit to follow you, you will make all things new. You will give them hope. So we thank you for that reality. We worship you. And in the same way, for those of us who are your followers, we do want to confess. Sometimes, and I can speak for myself, but sometimes I've been more like the world, Western American culture, than I've been like you, Jesus. Thank you that you don't judge me, you don't condemn me, but rather you call me to something greater. And Lord, we want to confess the times that those of us who bear your names, we have been unwilling to bear someone else's burden. Would you forgive us for that? And Jesus, would you then empower us not only to carry our own load, but to when we see somebody carrying a heavy burden, Father, to be willing to shoulder that burden with them and therefore fulfill the very law of Jesus, to walk in his footsteps, to show the same love and grace to others that we have received. So, Father, I pray now that we would make that commitment, and perhaps as we would leave here today, you know, we would find somebody or we begin a relationship with somebody that could watch over us spiritually, that could mutually encourage one another. Help us to take that risk. It's worth it to take that risk, to ask somebody else, say, hey, would you be willing to help me follow Jesus? And I'd be willing to help you. Help us to make space for authentic relationships in your body, in the family. We thank you now, and we pray your blessing on the remainder of this time together. It's all for Jesus that we pray this. Amen.